This is Phil Farron. And I am driving home. It's actually Christmas Eve because I'm going to have Aiden all day tomorrow for Christmas, and then I'm going to have Aiden all day on Thursday because Dad has to work and there's no school system right now. So I'll have him today or tomorrow and Thursday, and then I'll have him Monday and Tuesday of next week. So I'm just going to be working from home, but that's just fine. We can make that work. Give me a lot of time to get my read through done for book 22 so I can start my second writing sprint. And then I've got about 60,000 words to get done for that, but more on that in a minute. I've been off work this week, so we had a good week last week. I talked about that on Thursday when I recorded the podcast. This is Tuesday. It's Christmas Eve. And so I just thought, you know, if you don't get this done today, it's going to be a while. So I wanted to get this done earlier than later. So work's good. Haven't had any work this week. Going to be off the rest of the week, so that'll be fun. And as far as costumes go, I did Ugly Christmas Sweater Day last Friday and Saturday. That was it's always fun. So that was fun. We hooped and hollered and carried on and did that whole thing and actually explained to a friend what A Christmas Story was because they had never seen the movie. So we talked about that. And, you know, about two-thirds of the way through us chatting, he was staring at my leg and he went, "Wait a minute, leg lamp. I've seen the leg lamp." And I said, yep, that comes from this movie. Oh, okay. You know, so it was fun. And then this morning, I went ahead and since it was Christmas Eve, I haven't typically done this. I've celebrated an elf day, like the Friday before Christmas. But because that's falling on Ugly Christmas Sweater Day, and like this year, Christmas is on a Wednesday, so that's a fur piece from, that's a long way from Christmas. I just decided, you know what, let's just do something different. So if Christmas is on a Friday, I won't be going to Walmart because Walmart will be closed. So that means I'll go on the Thursday. If Christmas is on a Saturday, that also means that the Friday before it is the 24th. And I think that's still, no, that, see, if it's on the 24th, if Friday is the 24th, then that would be fine to do Elf Day because the 17th would be Ugly Christmas Sweater Day because it would be the third Friday. And so you can just sort of mark it out and see where it ends up being. But wherever the third Friday ends up being the last Friday before Christmas, I'm just going to go ahead and just go to Walmart on the Christmas Eve. And it was good. It was fun. I had one lady tell me, she said, let's see, she told me, you came in either, it was either right behind them or right before them when we came to shop. And she said, it just changed my whole shopping experience. I said, well, good. I'm glad. Merry Christmas. You know, and the great thing about going on Christmas Eve is I could just say Merry Christmas as much as I want. You know, if it's 4 or 5 days ahead of time and it's Elf Day, and I say Merry Christmas, people are like, yeah, okay, you know. They're kind of tired of hearing Christmas when it's that close. But once you're on it, Christmas Eve, people are ready to hear Merry Christmas. So anyway, so that was fun today. The costumes are fun. I am going to slot in a new costume in January because I put in Big Wig Day on like the weekend of the 24th, but then I realized that Bigwig Day officially is the last Friday in January, which happens to be the last day of January this year, which is the 31st. So I'm going to wait to do Bigwig Day on that weekend, and then I needed something to fill in the weekend before. Could have done Backwards Day, that's fun, but I was just looking for something quick and easy that I could do. And it turns out that January, there's a holiday all January called Manuary. And I thought, oh, that'll be fun. So I've got to do like a lumberjack costume. It'll be fun, but it'll be real quick. Be quick, quick. Might even sing the I'm a lumberjack and I'm okay. I don't know that I'll do the last few verses, but... Monty Python, you know? So, anyways, so I am still working on trying to figure out what I'm doing for Tell a Fairy Tale Day. I think I had mentioned that the last time I did the podcast, but a friend of mine, Saturday before last, I would have done a podcast video. He suggested the Princess Bride, and that's going to be great. I have something technical to work out. I have couple of turbans coming in that I'm going to decorate with jewels and feathers and that kind of thing. Because I have an embroidered outfit that's part of the Rat Catcher's Day that I'm going to use, since I'm not going to do Rat Catcher's Day next year. And given that, I am going to build the puppet stage, that's for sure. You know, ChatGPT can help get the images for me and all that sort of thing. It's going to be great. I would like to build some sort of scrolls that I could mount on either side of my head and have them scroll and put another, like, scrim in front of my face that also had just the face of one of my characters that I'm impersonating. So, like, when I do the, hello, my name is Inigo Montoya, you killed my father, prepare to die. You know, I would like a scrim of Inigo Montoya's face in front of my face, but they would have to be on rollers and it would have to scroll, and I would either have to do that by hand or I would have to put step motors in it. So I'm going to hold and not build that until I get farther into it to see if I can get it all done. But it is like the third week in February, so I've got some time here. And it shouldn't be that hard to build things with step motors that would, you know, place it in the right places. Just use a little Arduino controller on it, you know, one of those ESP32s. I'm sure someone has something, you know, some code that I can cabbage to make this work. So we'll see. We'll see how that works out. I have started my read-through on book 22. I plan to do a lot more reading tomorrow and Thursday, and then Monday and Tuesday. I plan to do a lot more reading, so I could probably get started on the fairy tale puppet stage here fairly quickly. Start bulking in those designs and, you know, seeing how things work out. So it'll be fun. Got several days in here. Net and I really don't have any plans, but, you know, I don't know. I was thinking that we might, you know, I haven't actually talked to her about this, but I don't know. I was thinking we might just get away for a little bit this weekend coming up. Because after I take care of Aiden for Wednesday and Thursday, I could do the thing on Friday and then we could take off and, you know, go spend the weekend down in Branson or something. So we'll see. We'll see, we'll see, we'll see. I do need to... Oh, I know why I was thinking about that. I need to go down to the Van Heusen store down there and get some more dress shirts. It's been... Holy cow. It's 5 years, 6 years, 7 years since I bought dress shirts for work. And I was looking at my dress shirts as they came out of the laundry on Sunday, and one of the sleeves is ripping off. one of the cuffs is ripping off one of my shirts, so I think it's about time to get some new shirts. Because I have worn those threadbare, so I might just see if Net wants to get a, you know, do a runaway for a quick weekend. So we'll see. That would be fun. So this week I've been chatting with friends about something I heard Jordan Peterson say that wasn't something new, but he described it in such a way that I was like, oh, right, I know that. That is very interesting. Now, the other thing that's interesting is that just a couple of days ago, OpenAI did announce ChatGPT 4.03, and that's being released for public testing, and they have made some amazing advances in that. When you step back from it and kind of really take a close look at it, they aren't calling it AGI, Artificial General Intelligence, yet. But it certainly has glimmers of artificial general intelligence. And I've been sort of monitoring what people in the know are saying about it. And, you know, no, some people are like, yeah, this is really close. Or some people say this is it. And other people are saying, well, not quite. Because there are some really impressive things that O3 will do. So they tested it against some really big math quiz thingy that even, you know, really, really skilled mathematicians have to work hard to answer these questions. And ChatGPT 4.03 did a surprisingly good job at it. You know, didn't get them all, but it certainly did a surprisingly good job at it and did get some. And then the other thing that's really of note with ChatGPT 03 is the fact that there are tests that have been developed. There's a company that has developed a set of tests that are actually reasoning tests. I'm going to get my mail here. Just one little piece. See if there's anything in the bottom. I don't think there is. So there are these tests that have been developed specifically to recognize when we have achieved AGI. And these tests are tests that are tuned to humans and the unique capabilities that humans have to solve certain problems. So the problems are those things that you see on logic tests where, for instance, you might have pictures of squares, like on a graph paper, and you might have three squares that are arranged and would be a cube, except the final corner is not there. So you have like three in a little angle iron, and then the corner is not there. And then on the other side, you see that corner has been filled in with a blue square. And likewise, in the second example, you might have a larger cube or something, or square, where whatever pieces are missing that, on the next slide, those are filled in with blue squares. And then you ask, okay, so what's the next progression in these two? And it's the same type of thing. Basically, wherever you have an area that could complete a certain shape and there's missing cubes, you just fill them in to complete that shape. And the large language models that we have typically had difficulty answering those. And, you know, if I've got my figures correct, it's that those types of tests, when they would give them to the large language models, they would only answer like 5% of the time, if at all. Well, ChatGPT 403 on minimal mode was answering 75% of them, and on unrestricted mode got up into the 87.5%, where human competency is considered to be 85% on those. So it was actually performing above human competency on those types of tests. And yet there were other tests that it still didn't have. So like I saw one of the ones that it didn't have where you would have this grid and you would have a bunch of boxes on the grid. And then there were these blue dots on the outside. And there were two blue dots that were aligned vertically, two blue dots that were aligned horizontally. And if you drew a line from through the vertical dots and drew another line through the horizontal dots, then any box that intersected those lines was supposed to be turned blue. And it couldn't get that. But it did get all these really complicated math field equations, and it did get a bunch of the reasoning equations. So it's an impressive achievement. And as one person said, it's never going to get any worse. It's only going to get better. So, you know, I think there was a reason that Sam Altman of OpenAI was predicting that they would get to AGI in 2025. And then once we have a truly generalized artificial intelligence, man, there's so many things you could do with that. I mean, you know, in our applications there at the missions, AGWM, you know, Assemblies of God World Missions, we have a financial services procedural manual that lines out in detail what's supposed to be done at every stage. And if we could feed that thing into it and then have it analyze input that's coming in from the missionaries, holy cow, you know. I mean, so 2025 is going to be an amazing year. Now, what is also going to be really fascinating to watch is we've been talking multiple times about the progression that we're going through and about what COVID did to the generalized trust in science and those things, and how open-minded atheists have been drifting back towards some sort of a Christian belief system to keep our societies together, that we actually have evolutionary biologists who are saying, look, our society is broken. And if we can't get this fixed, if we can't get to back to some sort of moral framework that holds us together like the old systems of Christianity did, we're in deep trouble. And we've talked about those things. And Jordan Peterson kind of expressed all of this and kind of summarized all this in a way that I thought, oh, wait, yeah, that's right. That's right. So I thought this was a really interesting thought. So you start with the Enlightenment. So the Enlightenment comes along. You have men who are men of good conscience, and frankly, men who were either deist or theist, who believed in a creator, who believed that it was the glory of God to hide a thing and the glory of kings to seek it out. And their motivation for making discoveries was to discover what God had already put here. Their motivation was, this is kind of a game. God is going to help us find these things because he enjoys this, but he's hidden them here for us to have this adventure. And then, of course, once we got more and more science under our belt, and once we got more and more things we could do, and we started getting full of ourselves, then you started having things come along, like the explanation for why there's no need for a God, because Darwin says, you know, that things could just evolve on their own. And then all of a sudden there was the birth of the modern world, where we don't need all this quote-unquote religious thought that is in opposition to our quote-unquote science. And that we can build this, you know, we can build a society without all of this superstition. And then over time, you know, society is still gasping and struggling on the fumes of Christianity. But then we decide we should just kick our God out of our schools, and that we should, you know, get rid of prayer, and that we should just become a secular society. Interestingly enough, we do that, and within, what, 40 years? The modern world just slides off the rails. To the point now where our universities are just infested with postmodern thought and are just turning into anti-speech, anti-Jewish, you know, woke politics, transgender ideologies, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And in fact, one of the interesting things is that Richard Dawkins has gone on record as sounding pretty disappointed on how this has gone. That once we became a secular society, we didn't stay a secular society. We just slid right into new forms of paganism, you know, new forms of hedonism, new forms of tyrannical religious thought, just that went by different names. He said, quote, "What a betrayal we're seeing now with campuses all over the Western world, America and Britain, are denying people the right to come and speak on campuses. If you can't speak your mind on a university campus, where can you?" I mean, that's what universities are about. And as Jordan Peterson was reflecting on all this, he was talking about this, you know, abandonment of the idea of God and morality and Christianity and the Judeo-Christian ethic. He was talking about that and how we've walked away from that narrative. And he, as he has said, and I have believed forever and ever, humans do not run on facts and figures and statistics and equations. Humans run on story. They run on narrative. Because whatever narrative you have, whatever story you have about the world, when you get those facts that you research, you plug the facts into the story. And we have seen over and over and over again that when lead scientists decide on a story and get funded for a certain story, they fight tooth and nail against any piece of evidence that contradicts that story. And that is not the way it's supposed to go, but it does. So, understanding that, we understand that this base story is critically important. And one of the things that Jordan Peterson said that I just went, oh, right. Because we have moved beyond a modern world now. We are in a postmodern world. And Jordan Peterson has said over and over that the one thing we have to thank the postmodern world for is the understanding that we all run on a narrative. And he said, what's fascinating about this, I think he said this, the idea is that I took away from it is what's fascinating about this is the modern world with all our science and all our experimentation and all our funding and all our quote unquote pursuit of truth were just taken off at the knees and put down by the postmodernists. And Jordan Peterson reminded me that the postmodernists, they weren't scientists. They weren't psychologists. They weren't sociologists. They were literary critics. They were people who just reviewed the classics and deconstructed them and criticized them. They dealt in story. And what they were able to do is replace the stories that ancient religious systems gave us, be it Christianity or Judaism or Buddhism or Confucius, all that. They were able to replace all of those stories in the universities with a simplified, untrue story that all interactions between human beings were the result of a power exchange. That if you didn't have something, it's because someone oppressed you and took it away from you. That if you had something, it's because you were an oppressor. And that story that all interchanges are the result of power, and it's one person oppressing another, that's a terrible story. It's just terrible. Especially when that's coupled with hedonism. And now it's just grab everything you can and you can do anything you want to anybody else because it's all just power exchanges anyway. And if you don't do it to them, they're going to do it to you. And the infestation of that horrible, horrible story that can be traced directly back to Marxist philosophy, that can also from there be directly traced back to the story of Cain and Abel. It shows how ancient this story is that has infected our universities. And that was a really interesting idea to me, that in fact, the universities, the scientists, our entire modern world was taken down by a bunch of literary critics. And that's because we run on story. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.